Welcome to the Fairhaven Church Sermons Podcast. Fairhaven is a part of Harbor Churches, a multi-site church located in West Michigan, and we exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you to take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
Let's pray together. Lord, our one ask of you right here in this space right now is this. We simply want to encounter you. The Christ who came into this world, may you meet up with us right here. And so we prepare heart and mind for that. And would invite you to use me in whatever fashion you so choose. But that is our heart's desire, not to just hear about you, but to experience you. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Merry Christmas, everyone. I am really, really glad to be with you here tonight and want to just extend a special welcome to any of you that maybe for the first time you've come to church because something in you was stirring that you wanted to experience Christmas. Wanted to see what this was all about, and people all over the globe are doing that, experiencing this thing called Christmas, not just the lights and all of the stuff that come with it, but the story behind it. And this story, it's honestly, it's like no other. This night is like no other night in the entire year. It is the greatest of all nights. And the reason is because of this incredible birth announcement that came and then the life that came out of that, and the profound impact of Jesus's being with us, which is the word Emmanuel, God with us. And who among us doesn't like a good birth announcement? Well, we probably all do. Whether it's your child that you get to give the first birth announcement of your first child, and you get to call mom and dad and grandma and grandpa to tell them about it. Or you're a grandparent yourself, and it's the first grandchild, and you get to tell about that. Or even like birth announcement of a group of puppies is cool, right? Like a whole bunch of puppies, because I don't know if all of you like dogs, that's okay if you don't like dogs, but if you don't like puppies, like, I'm going to need you to stay after class, and I'm going to pray for you, and we'll heal that, because puppies are cool, and they smell cool. And so the birth announcement for Jesus, though, it just eclipses all of that. There's nothing like it. And what doesn't get lost on me year after year after year, the closer I get to this moment, is just how profound this night really is. And that we should enter this night with mystery and absolute awe, because the birth announcement came from literally out of this world. When we say out of this world, this one is out of this world, because an angel showed up to a field, and the Gospel of Luke tells us the story that this angel showed up to this field, and the glory of the Lord lit the field up, not literally on fire, but just lit it up. And the glory of the Lord was such that the stars themselves went dim. Of course, that God's glory is such that he who taught the stars to shine is outshining them in that moment. And then the angel spoke to those shepherds. I bring you, you shepherds, right here in this field, good news of great joy that will be for all people. Incredible. And the shepherds are taking this in, terrified in that moment. And then what they follow up with, not just is this good news of great joy that will be for all people, but over in the town of David, over there in Bethlehem, that little town over there, there's a baby. And this is the profound mystery. A baby who is a savior. 400 years of silence and waiting. Oh, come, Emmanuel. He's over there. He's here. He's in a manger, lying in a manger over in Bethlehem. Amazing. And so for 2,000 years, we've been telling the story year after year. And if we truly enter this story with mystery and awe, the profound wonder of the God of this entire universe, who amasses enormous power to come in the form of a baby, should not be lost on us here tonight. And so for years, we've been saying basically this, that a baby changed everything, that a baby changed everything. A baby came into this world and changed everything. And what we know is that on that night, it was dark when God came into this world. What we know is that God didn't just enter the darkness of the sky and light it up with God's glory. He didn't just come into the dark night. He came into a dark world. We know a lot about the ancient world. And actually, we don't even have to know a lot about it because we know a lot about our world. And we know humans are humans, and the world has been the world, and the world has had trouble, and there's aches and pains in our body, and illnesses and death, and there's relational strain. There's struggle for getting enough to be able to survive. There is war and famine that happens on this planet. Into that world, that dark world and a dark night, God came, which tells us at least this little bit, that God's not afraid of the dark. I'm not talking about he needs a nightlight, right? He's not afraid of the dark. He's not afraid of stepping into pain. He doesn't shy away from relational strain. He doesn't shy away from the things that we find ourselves being hopeless in. He's stepped into the world and is still stepping into our worlds because that's who he is. And in the Gospel of John, he comes right out of the box and telling this birth story of Jesus coming into this world. He comes out of the box saying that God broke into this dark world in this way, that in Christ, in this baby, was life. And that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness didn't have the power to overcome him. He's not afraid of the dark. But what it doesn't say, notice this, what it doesn't say is that he just eradicated all darkness, that he stepped in with such brilliant light and power that all darkness was gone, that death was gone, that illness was gone, that pain was gone, that all the relational stuff that can happen in the world between country and country, or husband and wife, or brothers and sisters, or children and parents, gone. It didn't say that. It says the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness couldn't overcome it, that the light was stronger, but did not completely eradicate it once and forever. And we know that's true. It's not something we often dance around on a Christmas Eve, but it's honest. And we know it's true because it's the honest story that we love to read at this time of year from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, where it says this, in those days, this is when Jesus was born, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree. Caesar Augustus, he's on the throne. Still after Jesus was born, still after this light broke into the world, still after the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world was born. Yeah, the one, Caesar Augustus, who actually called himself the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the Savior of the world, still on his throne. Still on his throne. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Oh, wait, the Roman Empire is still active in the world, using its might and power to mow over lesser nations, occupying their territory, and making their citizens subject to Roman rule? Yep, that's still going on. This was the first census took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house in the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And they gave birth to a firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room in the guest room for him. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord, this is just what we were talking about, amazing. The angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things, and she pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Incredible story. And the story, like I said, points it out. I mean, it's the Christmas story that tells us that the world didn't stop because the baby was born. Well, the baby was born, but the world kept rolling. Rome, still flexing its power. Caesar still seated on the throne. Soldiers still occupied the street. The baby was born, the baby was born, the baby was born, the baby was born, but oppressive taxes were still due. The baby was born, and life is still hard. A baby was born, and that baby, this little baby, was born in a little town that many people would just walk on by. A little town and not even room. Again, the profound mystery of this. Like, really? Wow. This is the king of the universe who has come down in the form of a baby, as if that weren't enough, but there's not even room for him in the family house. The guest room's not available. Out to the stable, you use the manger for that baby. Baby's just lying in a manger. Who's this? And only the shepherds are showing up to observe, and they leave praising God for what they had seen. A baby was born, but when God came into the world as a baby, it's pretty clear, right? Not everything changed. Not everything changed. And the reason is, not because of what the angel said, because the angel said, "I bring you good news of great joy that is for all people." That does not mean the good news of great joy is going to be received by all people. That does not mean the good news of great joy that has the power to transform human life, yours and mine, doesn't mean that we're going to allow that transformation to happen. That's our call. When God came into this world as a baby, a lot changed. What changed is the possibility for all this, the access to the God who stepped into this world and proved, "I am for you and I'm not afraid of your dark. I will step in it with you." But not everything changed because we have choice in that. And what we know from this is that God did not come to erase the world as it was. He did not come to just say, I'm doing away with all of that stuff as it was. What we know is actually this, that God stepped in. He came to enter in, to enter this world just like it is, to enter your world, to enter your story, to enter my story, to enter our stuff, no matter what it is, just as it is. John Ortberg, an author, gave this incredible quote. He said, in some ways, God's biggest miracle was his smallest. He condensed all his being into a single human being and came down to earth to be with his people. And God took all of his essence, all of his love, all of his compassion, all of his grace, all of his desire to forgive, all of his everything in him that wants restoration of relationship with his children, who are you and me and every other that would walk on the earth, that would make a move back to the toward the God who's moving toward us. All of that condensed down into a single baby, human being, and came down to earth to do this, to be with us, to walk among us, show us in so many ways, this was the life of Jesus, to just show us who God was, to put it on display. If you really, really, I want a picture of who God is, you want a picture of who God is, study the person of Jesus and you'll get a glimpse of who God is. Jesus actually said, to see me is to see the Father. To know the way Jesus interacted with children and others and cared for those that were broken and went to the marginalized and lifted the way that Jesus interacted with others is to see the heart of compassion of God. To see how he forgave and restored gives me hope. Not just for myself, but for those that I look at and think God can do that which I can't see possible yet, but he is the God of all possibilities. He came down to earth to be with us. Here's what Chuck Swindoll said. He said, Christmas is about God coming down to live in this weary world with us, stepping into your weariness. How many things we could speak to. I mean, there's a long list that we could talk about for Rome, for Caesar sitting on the throne. We could talk about the taxes they had to pay, and then we could add our own list. Anxiety that we try to lay down at nighttime because it keeps us up. And in the morning, it's still there, waiting for us to pick it right back up again. Our financial concerns that we just can't seem to get on top of and don't know where to turn. Or some kind of diagnosis that hits us. Or don't know where to turn in a strained relationship. All of that stuff. Christmas is about this. The God of this universe stepped into our world. And in stepping into our world shows us this weary world, or this weary spot that you're in this world, is the very place God chooses to show up. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's right where he wants to do his best work and do his next incredible miracle. I want to leave us with these three things and just a little bit about the shepherds. I want you to know on this Christmas Eve that hope can exist even when circumstances don't improve. Even when the stuff around you, because that was the ancient story here. Hope came into the world. Jesus showed up. The world still looked the same. Hope can exist even when you can't see it yet. Even when your circumstances don't improve, keep walking it out. Second one, love can go the distance even when life is hard. How? Well, sometimes we need help. Sometimes we need the love of God to bring our love toward perfection. Sometimes we need enough humility before God. God, can you just shape this so that I can regain the capacity to do, not just feel, but to do those things that are loving so that it can go the distance even when life gets hard. And the third thing is this, that I want every one of us to know that light shines even when our dark night seems very long. Even when whatever you're going through, whatever you're experiencing, whatever you're longing for, whatever Israel was waiting for 400 years, maybe not 400 for you, maybe four, maybe 40, that in that long night, the light still shines. And that God, the darkness of anything we're dealing with cannot overcome him. His presence, at bare minimum, is there with us. So this end of the story, we were reading it here in the shepherds. The shepherds, just like you and me, we'll leave here on Christmas Eve and go back to whatever it is we have and whatever we do. Or to go to parties tonight, but then the routine will start back after the first of the year at least as we go back to our jobs. But the shepherds returned, it says in verse 20. Here's what's amazing. As they heard, good news, shepherds, of great joy that'll be for you and all people. And the shepherds returned, meaning they went back to their fields. Some things don't change. You go back to your fields. They went back to their fields. They went back to shepherding. But the big difference, and this is my hope here tonight for all of us, they went back different. They didn't go back the same shepherds. They went back to the same job, completely different people. They went back with a hope. They went back with a love. They went back with this understanding that a bright light has shone. They went back understanding all three of those that were up there a second ago. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. They went back to the same old world, if you will, transformed in different people. That's when Christmas really finds a new birth. It happens in our hearts. And it happens when God, you don't just hear about the story, you actually meet him and you're transformed by him. Let's pray together. Father, tonight, some of us have been in that place of longing where we even started the service with a song that felt like it came out of the depths somewhere of someone's soul. Oh, come. I feel so alone. Come, Lord, with us, Emmanuel, and ransom, restore, redeem where I feel held captive. Some of us have been in that place, and we know this about you. You're a redeemer. You're a restorer. You are a savior of your people, and we trust you to do that in every one of us. You made a promise. When you left this planet, you looked at your disciples and said, I'll be with you. And that applies to each one of us. Even to the very end of the age, I'll be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. That is the miracle of tonight. That you're not just the creator of this universe. Could have been. You're not just the God of immense power that is true of you. There is none like you. But you're intimate. You know us by name. You'll step into our story. You care about us relationally with you so much that you say, I'll forgive you. Why would you do that, Lord? For my own sake. I'm going to remember your sins no more so that we can be connected with one another. For anyone here tonight, Lord, that is feeling your stirring, draw them to yourself. Show them your love. Show them the power that it took to actually take all of who you are into the form of a baby, to come into this world, who then would grow into a man, would hold back nothing, not even to the point of humiliation and death on the cross. The power that you had to resurrect over the grave. Darkness can't overcome you, nor can the grave. The darkness of the grave could not hold you. Why? Because of us. All of that, because of us. We worship you. We adore you. You deserve all the glory and the honor. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you are encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you through this message. For service times or for more information about how you can be a part of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.